Today is a day when we will reflect to some extent on a year which is ending. And we will wonder on a day like today what the new year will hold for us as individuals and as societies and clubs, as congregations, of which you and I are part. One of the things that has always astonished me since I've been able to understand it a little, always astonished at how obsessed human beings like ourselves are, desperately anxious to know what's going to happen to them day by day, week by week, and maybe a month or two, or even a year or two ahead. What is going to happen to you or to me in this coming years? And we know how important it is and how much time we give to it on the basis that we pick up a newspaper and we look almost immediately at our horoscope just to see what's going to happen to us. I would dare to challenge you. Hands up those who look at their horoscope every day. Thank you for your honesty. But it is a thing, and I'm sure at a moment like this, on a day like this, at the end of a year like this, you will be wondering, what's going to happen to us as a congregation? And you heard it in the readings. There is a time for everything. You heard it in the readings. You are to be people of faith, and you will know the light of God, and you will find eternity. But there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that people are interested in what the future holds for them. And if my own experience is anything to go by, this interest in the future becomes even more pronounced as one grows older day by day and year by year. The writer of Ecclesiastes puts the blame for this great interest in the future. He puts the blame for this on God. He it is who has given us a desire to know the future, the terms of growing older. It is comforting to read that Michelangelo was still creating masterpieces at the age of 82. The German poet Goethe composed Faust at the age of 80 plus. And it's arguable that even somebody like Winston Churchill didn't do anything noteworthy until he was 65. That's my opinion. Others might disagree with that. There has been some research into this thing about the future. And some research has indicated, and this is interesting, that 9/10 of the world's outstanding achievements and inventions, they've been made by older people. So those of you who, like me, are growing older should wonder what great miracle you're going to perform or great invention you're going to make. And so it would seem that there should be no cause for pessimism as one contemplates the future, and all old age should not be a problem, nor should spiritual time either. I wonder what you thought when you heard Duncan read the question that Nicodemus put to Jesus. It's a question which we consider in different ways and at different times. But Nicodemus's question was the issue. He asks, how can a grown man be born again? How can a born man be born again? And Jesus gives him an answer. And he says very simply that those born again of the Spirit will be assured of entry into the kingdom of heaven. For they will be the one who believe and have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, says Jesus, eternity is in your heart. How can you be older? How can you grow old? It's not Jesus saying to you and saying to me that in the life of the Spirit there is no aging. The Spirit of God does not grow old. It remains youthful and strong and alive, and it seeks through God's will to enter into all of our hearts and minds that we might be filled with the Spirit. And again, I have said, I say to you again, this congregation is filled with the Spirit in most of all that I have come against. Please don't neglect it, but please understand the assurance that it gives to you that there is a place for you in God's kingdom of heaven. The God that you and I worship is the ever new God. As the Old Testament prophet declares, see what new thing the Lord is doing in your day. But not just in the Old Testament, but in our day and in every age, the love is doing something new. To be born again of the Spirit of the living God is to know eternal life, and it is to be perennially young. It is to be alive now and forever. And so can we begin to understand the great thing that was done for us all who are baptized in the Spirit of God, the Spirit which God grants to us as his gift. And so can we understand the importance that you and I have on many occasions made as part of a congregation that is undertaking the sacrament of baptism. For in that sacrament, there are promises made by the parents. There is promises made by God. But there is also the promise, which is as important as the others, that the congregation will support and maintain those who are baptized. Congregations share in the baptismal sacraments far more than they ever imagine. Norman Vincent Peale, the writer of Positive Thinking and other similar books, tells how one day he was walking through the narrow, busy streets of Hong Kong. And as he walked, he saw one shop window was full of tattoos that could be put on people's bodies. And the tattooist was standing at the shop door. Vincent Peale took a moment or two, in fact, a little longer than a moment or two, to study the various options that were displayed there in the window. And he noticed one which made him think. The tattoo said very, very simply that he wanted tattooed on his body the words "born to lose." Born to lose. And Vincent Peale asked the tattooist if he had ever been asked to perform that tattoo on any human being's person. And he said, "Yes, I have indeed done that tattoo on a number of times." But then he said, "And no one who asks for that tattoo appreciates the importance that they have been born not to live." Born to lose. It's a thought. We're not born to lose, for we have been born again in faith. And the readings this morning said again and again in both of them the importance of understanding that life will continue in eternity. What eternity is to be like, I can't tell you. And the Bible tells us only God knows. But know that it is there. And those of you who are born in the Spirit will enjoy it. We are not really growing old. We're growing towards a new youthfulness. Recognize what new thing the Lord is doing to you. Only God knows the future. And if we believe in him, we shall live gloriously in all our tomorrows and beyond. A new year, a new ministry to begin. But in the same belief that God sent his Son, that those who believed in him would have everlasting life. Last week and this week, we have heard some of the most important chapters in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New. When I was a child, the Bible was clearly seen in my parents' home, in my home. They read it, and they encouraged me to read it also. We should not have our Bibles hidden in a drawer. They should be in our hand more and more often than they are. It is important that you read the Scriptures and see how often the message that is there for us to understand is a message which takes us into the future, a future to be enjoyed with our Saviour Lord, a future which is to be enjoyed in a way that we can hardly imagine with the one who is our Father, who sent his Son into our world, that we should live by his light. May God bless to us the preaching of his word.